I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. I was born in 1947, and when I was a kid, I went through a lot of collecting stages. First, I collected baseball cards. I don't think I could even read yet, but all the kids on my block got together to trade baseball cards, and I was the youngest in the group. Topps baseball cards cost a penny for a single card and a strip of rock-hard bubble gum. Or you could pay a nickel for a pack of six cards and the gum. Like I say, I was very young, and I don't remember much about baseball cards, except that there was a player named Rip Rapolsky. And whenever anybody pulled out a card with his name on it, everyone laughed their fool heads off. Next, it was stamp collecting. I had a great uncle who collected stamps, and after seeing his collection, I had to have one too. I must have been about eight. My mother got me a stamp album and a bag of random stamps for my birthday by redeeming a couple of bookfuls of S&H Green stamps, and I was on my way. I sent for stamps on approval, which means you mailed in a dime for postage for a few free stamps, and they also sent you a booklet of stamps you could buy or send back. I always sent them back. I had an adult neighbor down the street who also gave me stamps, and I had a pretty nice collection. A few years later, the A&P store sold a huge stamp album that came in a dozen or so chapters. Encyclopedias were sold like that at grocery stores. Every week you bought a new volume for a dollar, and in 6 months you had the whole set. That's how it was with this stamp album. Each week a new part of the album would arrive, and each section cost a dollar. The first week you bought the covers for the album, the second week the pages for the countries that started with A, the next week B, and so on, until 3 months later you had the whole book. I still have that album today down in my basement. One summer I went really nuts and collected pop bottle caps. My family would go to a park or a campground, and I'd pick up all the bottle caps I could find, mostly around the picnic tables. In those days, bottle caps were as common as pull tabs are now. After a few months of persistent and enthusiastic collecting, I had a huge plastic bag full of bottle caps, some of them pretty exotic, but most of them Coke and Pepsi. They had absolutely no value, but I loved playing with them. And by playing with them, I mean shaking them up in my little sister's face until she told Mom, and Mom told me to knock it off. I have no idea whatever happened to them. My family moved every few years, and maybe they got left at one of those houses. I had two cousins named Steve and Daryl who lived way up in Minnesota, and we visited them every summer. They were coin collectors, and I often argued with them about the benefits of collecting stamps versus coins. Stamps were prettier, they didn't take up as much space, and, for some reason, this was a big deal to me, the most valuable stamp in the world was, at the time, worth more than the most valuable coin in the world. So why mess with coins, right? But my cousins pointed out that you could find good coins in everyday pocket change, and stamps were much harder to come by. I conceded the point, and I bought the two Whitman coin folders for Lincoln cents. The first one covered 1909 through 1940, and the second one covered 1941 to present, present then being 1957. Now, in 1957, you could find all kinds of great coins in common circulation. S pennies were common, and once in a while you'd even see an Indian head penny. Buffalo nickels were easy to find, though a lot of them had the date worn off. The date on the buffalo nickel was on a raised part of the coin, so it wore off rather quickly. Mercury dimes and Liberty quarters were easy to come by, too. And clad money was still 8 years away. When I had a lot of money, that is, a dollar or two, I'd go to the drugstore and buy a roll or two of pennies. I'd go through them all and pull out the ones I needed for my collection. There were a lot of good coins in those rolls, and legendary treasure hunter Carl von Mueller even had a name for going through coin rolls looking for good coins. He called it kitchen table coin shooting. Kitchen table coin shooting is pretty futile nowadays. There's no silver in circulation, no buffalo nickels. Maybe once in a while you'll see a wheatback Lincoln penny, but that's about it. Yes, once in a while you will read that someone did really good by buying a roll of coins at the bank, but more often than not, you're not going to find anything in a common roll. I feel sorry for the kids of today. Baseball cards are still around, but there are so many teams and so many players, who can keep track? In my day, there were just 8 teams in each league. No division stuff, no playoffs at the end of the season, you went right to the World Series. And of course there were players like Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, and Rip Rapolsky. Now stamp collecting. Are you kidding? Do you know a single kid who has even heard of stamp collecting? But we treasure hunters are keeping coin collecting alive. We won't find any old coins in our pocket change, but we sure do find them with our metal detectors. And when the coins are silver, they usually come out of the ground just as pretty as the day they were dropped. And they sure look great in those Whitman coin folders. What more could a treasure hunter want? For more articles on metal detecting and treasure hunting, visit my website, treasuremanual.com. That's treasuremanual, all one word, .com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.